This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You look at this team and you look at the game last night. The issue with this team for me is specifically three players. Like, right now, they are now 2.5 games up in first, and that's not all great shakes. The American League East has been down. Boston's in second place, a game under 500. It has been a weak start to the season for the American League East. The Baltimore team stinks. Tampa Bay isn't very good. Toronto is a bunch of frauds. And the Red Sox haven't been as good as people thought they would be, and they've been a game under 500. So I'm not telling you it's any great reward to be in first place in that division, but they are two and a half games up in first place. And to me, it's the bottom of the rotation, and they still don't have answers for that. We'll see who starts. It's probably going to be Ryan Yarbrough is now going to be the fifth starter, or they'll do bullpens and he'll bulk the games or whatever. I think that's the plan, I'm assuming. And Will Warren, who has not been very good. But as we saw in this game yesterday, the offense is not the issue. It's not perfect. It doesn't come through every time. We've seen runners left at third. Situational hitting has been an issue. Batting average, a lot of strikeouts still. It's not perfect, but you look at every single number in this offense, and obviously it explodes last night against a San Diego bullpen that hadn't lost a game in that situation all year. What was it, 23-0 in games leading in the seventh inning or later? And the Yankees battled back twice in this game. They fell behind 2-0 after Clark Schmidt, who I thought was okay, a little wild, was tough to watch. He was nibbling at times, but he gets out of a really jammed situation. If it wasn't for a balk that let in a run, he would have only given up one run in 6 innings. So 6 innings, 2 runs against the San Diego Padres. That's a good start for Clark Schmidt. Hopefully he's on the way to like really joining this rotation on a regular basis. That'd be nice. And seeing him pitch like that was a good start. Obviously, the bullpen gives up a run in the seventh, and immediately the Yankees pounce, have a really good inning, and score 10 runs. And what's exciting about it to me is the youth. And like, I want to talk about this specifically because you watch a lot of the young players on this team. We see Dominguez, and there's been a lot of talk about Jason Dominguez and how much playing time he's gotten. And I understand why the Yankees are doing what they're doing. He is a young kid. He missed all of the 2020 season with COVID during his minor league stint. So he lost a full year of development, right? He hasn't had a ton of at-bats, certainly right-handed. He hasn't had any, and he's been hitting under 100 right-handed, and he's not very good defensively. And you traded for Bellinger, and while he's struggling, you need to get him going. And Grisham has been unbelievable and is a great defensive center fielder, although I thought he was much more to blame than even Volpe was for a drop pop-up in the game last night. But he's great defensively, and he's hitting 9 home runs and has an OPS over 1,000. How do you take Grisham out of the lineup, and you're trying to get Bellinger going? He's a veteran player you're playing $27 million to. Like, and you got Judge in right field. Like, there's just a natural thing of Dominguez is going to not get as many starts as we want, but that doesn't change the fact that he's been really good left-handed, and last night showed you elements of his game. He starts that inning with a double right-handed, his speed. And that's part of the reason I have a problem. Like, if I have a major problem with Aaron Boone right now, it's that he's not pushing the athleticism of this team. We saw Jason Dominguez walk earlier in the game and then just stand there to lead off an inning and then not go anywhere, not run with the bottom of the lineup up. We saw a bunt for all you small ball players, and Oswaldo Cabrera looked like he's never bunted in his life. And he popped one up. But when Volpe gets on first to lead off an inning with the bottom of the order coming up, let's run. Let's use these kids' speed. Like, we went into this with the excitement of the athleticism of this offense, and despite the fact that they lead the American League in damn near every offensive category, from runs, home runs, on OPS, batting average. Like, they lead the American League in almost all of those stats, and they currently have 7 out of 9 hitters who are a league average or better in OPS. So we can complain about the offense. We can scream about the offense. We can scream that Volpe sucks. We can scream that this one sucks and that one sucks. The fact of the matter is the offense has been pretty damn good, and it's been Cookie Carrasco, Will Warren, and Devin Williams who have cost the Yankees being up 6 games in this lousy division. They have lost 5 games in the 8th inning or later, and Will Warren and Cookie Carrasco have not been good. That's where they're losing these games. Sure, are there games where the game is close and you'd like to see them rally in the ninth and they haven't, or like didn't score enough runs to win that game, or had a bad series in Baltimore? Okay, yeah. But ultimately, the offense has done enough, and they broke out for a huge win in this game, and they have the second best run differential in Major League Baseball, despite having not great pitching. And then the other, but I want to see more athleticism. Last night was great because you saw it from the youth of the team. Judge didn't contribute to last night's 10-run inning. You saw Ben Rice with the biggest hit of the inning, a double down the line. You saw it get started by Jason Dominguez. You saw a line drive from Volpe, who's been better over the last week and a half, much better over the last week and a half. And I know he's up and down. You got to see it stay up longer, but he's been much better. Bellinger isn't the young homegrown, but I was talking about being better. Bellinger's been better over the last 2 weeks. But we see big hits. Wells gets 2 hits in the inning, an RBI single and the grand slam to top it off. You got arguably Ben Rice with the double down the line is the biggest hit of the inning. Volpe comes through with a hit. Like, the youth of this team, Dominguez, the youth of this team is that people talk about how the team is old and they'll point to Goldschmidt. Like, all right, yes, Goldschmidt's old. He's also hitting 370, by the way. But other than that, this team is young and athletic. We saw in this game Bellinger go first to third, put pressure on the defense, the throw gets away, and it leads to a run. There needs to be more of it because they have that tool set. This team is young. This team is athletic. This team has the ability to cause havoc on the base path, and it hasn't been there. That's what's frustrating about the offense to me, because when Volpe leads off an inning with a walk or a single, he should attempt to steal. When Dominguez starts an inning with a leadoff walk and 7-8-9 or 8-9 are coming up, he should steal. And then a ground ball moves him to third. Let's manufacture runs at the bottom of the lineup, especially when it's guys like Reyes and Cabrera and Vivas, like with the injury to Jazz. That's what we're looking at. Like, try and make it easy for them. Put a ball in play and get an RBI, score a run. Let's get the bases going. That's what I'm looking for. But last night was a great victory. They needed it. It was an important win. Bouncing back off of the disaster, which again, in my opinion, was the worst loss of the year. And that leads to the conversation about Williams. And I've heard a bunch of people talk about this. I heard Keith as I'm driving in. I respect everybody. I can't understand the thought process of wanting to trade or give up on Devin Williams. I think you're insane. I'm sorry. He has been awful. Awful. He has given up more runs this year already. It is now May 7th. He has given up more runs already this year than the last 2 years combined. This is not, and I know I'm going to keep saying it, you could say whatever you want. He can't hang in New York, blah, blah. You do not give up on what has been arguably the best reliever in baseball over the last 3 seasons. You do not give up on him on May 7th. They need to continue to do what they're doing with him. I had absolutely zero problem with Aaron Boone going to him in the eighth inning with a three-run lead with 7, 8, 9 up. That's where you go to him. It's not just about going to him with up 10. You go to him last night. That's not going to work him back. He's got to have something on the line. They pitched him three times prior. I think two out of those three were a one-run game or a one-run game down a run in late innings. Like, he needs to have, you've got to work him back that way. And I'm sorry, a three-run lead with 7, 8, 9 coming up, and they took him out for the closer before he actually blew the game. I know we're gonna, you can't get on Weaver. He's been great. Weaver blew the game. Weaver doesn't have to give up a double and a single to blow the game.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Weaver was awful. You put him in there with a three-run lead. You took him out before he blew it with two outs, and Weaver couldn't get the last out. But you can't just give up on him. This team was built heading into this by its bullpen. It was the starting rotation before the injuries to Cole and Luis Gil. It was the pitching, and it's still the bullpen. And they've got Jonathan Loaisiga coming back. They've got Cousins coming back, who's throwing to Giancarlo Stanton. Efros just had a started his minor league assignment. Cruz has been striking out more people than anybody else out of the bullpen in Major League Baseball. And Weaver just gave up his first runs of the season. This can be, if you add what has been the best reliever in baseball, you are talking about nothing but good arms and good pitchers coming out of the bullpen. That can be a dominant bullpen. I know he's blown some games. The Yankees are good enough in this league to get to the postseason, good enough in this division to win the division. And I want to manage for every minute. I want to manage for every game. I want to win every single game they can play. But the fact of the matter is if you want to win a World Series, and that's what we talk about. We talk about winning a World Series as if it's the only damn thing that matters. And when we get to the playoffs, nobody gives a damn about what happened on May 5th or May 6th. Nobody gives a damn because we have had multiple years of May 5th being riding high. Best team in baseball. 7, 10, 8 game winning streaks. Dominant. Pulling away in the division. Best starting last year. The starting pitching was incredible. They were the best team in baseball in May. As they were losing the World Series, nobody told me, hey, those games in May were awesome, though. But yet when you lose them, suddenly it's the biggest thing in the world. Getting Devin Williams right is about winning. It might not have been about winning that game. It's about winning. It's not about just getting Devin Williams right. It's not just about kowtowing to Brian Cashman's desire to prove his trades correct. It's about getting one of the best relievers in baseball right, because if you get him right, you are going to win more games. and you are going to be more dangerous in the postseason, which is all we care about. All we care about. Unless, of course, you lose. Then you care about that. When you win it, no one cares about it. When you lose it, it's obviously a huge deal. You have to stick with Devin Williams. You have to get him right. He is not just a mop-up, slop-duty guy. He's got to be figured out. Because if he does become figured out, and of course, is there a line of demarcation on all this? Yeah, it ain't May 6th. You got to get Devin Williams right because that's what makes the team most dangerous to go win a World Series. Plain and simple. And if we're going to act as Yankee fans like that's all that matters, who cares they won 99 games, Chris? Who cares they won the division again, Chris? Who gives a damn they're the best team? Who cares they have six guys in the All-Star team in 22? Who cares about any of that? You're hung up on being just good in the regular season. You're hung, Aaron Boone has the most winning, best winning percentage this side of the Dodgers as far as managers in the history of the game. Who cares about that, Chris? Who cares? He's never won a damn thing in the playoffs. If all we care about is playoffs, then you can't tell me you want to banish Devin Williams on May 5th. You can't have it both ways. It's either all we care about is the postseason, or we want to win every single stinking game, all 162 of them. Because you can't argue the team will be better with Devin Williams pitching like Devin Williams at the back end of the bullpen. You want to win a World Series? You want to win a World Series? Williams and Weaver at the back end of it give them the best chance to win the damn World Series. But no, he blew a four-run lead against the Tampa Bay Rays at the beginning of April. I can't take it. Oh no, he lost a three-run game in May. We have to banish him forever. Okay, banish him. Banish him. See how that works for you. We said the same thing last year about Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes sucks. Clay Holmes is the worst. I want nothing to do with Clay Holmes. Get him the hell out of here. When he was removed from his closer role, move him away. I don't care. He came in and blew two different games after he was removed from the closer's role. He blew two different games pitching in significant moments later that year after being removed from the closer role. And I took calls on it. We screamed about it. He sucks. Get him out of here. I want nothing to do with Clay Holmes. I don't even want him on the postseason roster. And then he gives you nine straight scoreless innings in the American League playoffs and is as important a reliever as they had getting back to the World Series. That's what they're trying to do. They're two games up in a lousy division, a weak American League, with six teams that make the playoffs. And if you think their eye should be more focused on winning a game against Tampa as opposed to figuring out their bullpen and roster to get one of the best relievers in the game that they traded for right so that they can be dominant at that position in the postseason, I disagree with you.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.